Well, let's just go to Acts chapter 9, verse 32 to 35. Acts 9, 32 to 35. Is now Peter, as he went to town after town, came down also to the city of Lydia. So there he found a man of the name of Aeneas, who for 8 years had kept his bed, being paralyzed. So this man was paralyzed for 8 years. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, he says, Jesus Christ cures you. I want us, the Holy Spirit wants to emphasize something here today, that it is Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ makes you whole. That would have shifted the focus of the man, of Peter, to Jesus Christ. It says, arise, make your own bed. And he arose at once to his feet, and all the people of Lydia and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. God is saying he might have come with something today. He's saying that you turn your heart and look to Jesus Christ. He says that God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That same Jesus is present here. Let's turn our hearts to him and trust him to speak that word into our lives that will cause more us to rise up on our feet and make our own bed and walk in this place. Father, we give you thanks. So Jesus Christ is here, and he sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the anointing that caused everything to happen. He was the one that actually resulted in all the manifestations that Jesus Christ did. That's why he says, it's expedient for you that I go away, for if I do not go, the Comforter cannot come. The Holy Spirit is so important. That's why he says he's the guarantee of our inheritance. He's the guarantee of everything that we will have in this new covenant. So we have to give him his rightful place as the one that comes to make everything happen. Let's go to the book of Galatians. Galatians. I want the vitality of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 3. It says there, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth and crucified among you? This only will I learn of you. So receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect in the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things yet in vain? It says, five is what I want to focus on. He that ministers the Spirit to you and worketh miracles among you. So it is the presence of the Holy Ghost that causes a manifestation to happen in our lives. Nothing else and no one else can do it. He that ministers the Spirit, and as a result of the ministry of the Spirit, he works miracles among you. Doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So the Holy Ghost is the manifester, as for want of words, of what God is doing on the earth today. So let us understand that. I want to give him, and he's a person, and we have to learn to give him his rightful place. He's a person, and nothing moves without him. That's why Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. So let us understand, without the presence of the person of the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. I had an encounter with the Spirit of God this week that has changed my whole entire paradigm. So personal, I won't go into it in detail, but I'll use it as an example to share what the Spirit of God knows. He knows all things. He knows far more than you can ever imagine. He knows things that you will never have thought of. I mean, things that you say, oh my God, how on earth? I mean, it blew my mind. It blew my mind. So the Spirit of God must be given his rightful place. And we suffer so many things because we do not acknowledge his person. We suffer so many things because we don't give him the room he wants to occupy in our lives. Let's now begin to go into the scriptures and we'll continue from where we stopped last week. I just want to emphasize that the Holy Spirit, let's focus on him. He's the one that will reveal, and what is his primary assignment is to reveal Jesus Christ, not to reveal, he's not for your own agenda. He's for the agenda of the revelation of Christ Jesus. So in everything, that is what his agenda is. That's why Paul said, look, I know how to experience salvation in my daily life. I know how to turn every situation around in my life. I know it. I know how to do it. He said, this is how we do it. Through your prayers result in a release of the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And my focus is that in nothing I am ashamed. And what is that? That Christ Jesus will be magnified. So my focus and my expectation is what Christ's will is in this situation. But how do I get Christ's will to come to pass? I need the Holy Ghost to come and bring that will to pass. Let's understand this. If you understand this message and flow with it, your life will begin to change dramatically. It says that the earnest expectation is that Christ Jesus will be magnified. And the Spirit of God comes only to magnify Christ. So if I can align myself with saying, in this situation, no matter how I'm feeling, no matter what is going on, my primary objective is that Christ Jesus, or the will that Christ has determined regarding the situation, comes to pass. And the Holy Ghost comes to manifest that will. The problem is that we are trying to use our own agenda. Listen to me. Follow me. You're trying to use our own agenda and cock up our own ambition sometimes and ask for a rubber stamp of the Spirit of God upon it. It does not work like that. It says, my heart desire for Israel is that they might be saved. Right? It said they don't understand the righteousness of God. God's way of doing things and being right. Now they have gone to establish their own righteousness. That means you can have your own agenda and you can be successful. God is merciful. But you won't get into the purpose. We're talking about purpose of God. You won't get into that destiny, that flow of the Spirit. Let's go. We'll see some things here. Now, we've been talking about this life. I'm talking about some things here about understanding the Christian life. Let's go to the book of 1 Peter 4, 1 to 2. I have a few things, a lot of scriptures to cover today. Understanding the Christian life. 1 Peter 4, 1 to 2. We'll just read that. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. That he should no longer live the rest of his flesh to the lusts or desires or expectations of men, but solely to the will of God. I'm going to go through some scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5:15. I want to see something. This is a Christian life. 2 Corinthians 5:15. And he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. He says, they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. We are going to go to some scriptures. I'm doing Galatians 2:20. We have to show the scriptures. Galatians 2:20. Then I will tie them together. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In fact, one translation says, Christ is now using my body. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, Colossians 3, 1 to 3. I want us to see the scriptures. I know there are a few scriptures, but it's important. Colossians 3, 1 to 3. It says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. He says, set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Not the word things. Things. It now says, for you are dead. You have a new life. A new life. Your life is now hid with Christ in God. You are dead and your life is now hid with Christ in God. For you are dead and your life is now hid in Christ in God. So you have a life in Christ. You have an earthly life that you're living. You go to work, you wake up. But there is an inheritance that's attached to who you really are as a new creature, which is hidden from human eyes, which nobody can actually contact. It takes the Holy Ghost to reveal that thing to us. The person they see that goes to work every day, there's someone, it's not a real person. There's a real man on the inside of you, and we'll see how the Holy Ghost will begin to bring this out. It's very important. We'll see how, because people have based their identity on what the physical, on the things they see, on the job they do, on the work they do, on the things on the outside, on the car they drive, on the house they have, on the identity their parents gave them, which is one part of it, but your true identity is only defined by the Word of God. And it takes the Holy Spirit to reveal it unto you. And that's where we're going now. That's where we're going now, because it is only the man that knows that identity that can save the dying world. It's only the man that knows the identity that can be an expression, like we talked yesterday, of the impression that men are carrying the expressions of God. It's only a man that understands that goes back to his roots and find that identity. It's only that man that will be able to excel. And when men see that, they now come to a knowledge of the fact that Jesus Christ is alive. Because that identity is an expression of the resurrected Christ on the earth. That's what we're about. So let's begin to understand that. Let's go into this place. Let's go to the book of Hebrews. We're going deep. So it's going to be a bit, I'll be as slow as possible, but we're going to go into some deep things. Hebrews chapter 13. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 13. What God showed me, I'm trying to address two things in this body. He showed me yesterday the issue of sin and the issue of self. A self-effort, human will, and the issue of sin. When you start clear out of the way, you have a free flow of the Spirit of God. Those are two things, and those are the two hindrances to the manifestation of the sons of God. To the manifestation of the power of the Spirit. The issue of sin and the issue of self-effort. Well, let's go there. Let's see that. Hebrews chapter 13. Because the covenant is not something you can do by yourself. The new covenant is not something you can do by yourself. You see, that message of the human will without the presence of the Holy Spirit from the pit of hell is a substitute for the real message. 13, chapter 10. It says, we have an altar whereof, follow me closely, they have no right to eat of, which serve the tabernacle. There's an altar, we who are new creatures. There's an altar whereof those who serve the tabernacle or the flesh have no right to eat of. So for the blood of these beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, were burnt without the camp. So wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the camp. So let us go, therefore, bearing without the camp, unto him without the camp, and bearing his reproach. For we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Let's hold your place there, because we have some things to cross. Now let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 8. Remember, it says we have an altar whereof they have no right to partake, which serve the tabernacle. It says the Holy Ghost thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet manifest, whereas the first tabernacle was yet standing. Listen, because the first tabernacle was standing, there was a hindrance to people entering into the holiest of all. Remember, we said we have an altar, whereas they have no right to partake, which serve the tabernacle. Follow me closely. We're going somewhere, and let's go to that's 9. Let's go to 11. The same chapter 11. Follow me closely. So, but Christ being made an high priest, note that word, of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hand, that is to say, of this building. So Christ has come, and he has opened up a way for us. 2 Corinthians 5, 1-2. I'll just follow this kind of thoughts. I have to use scripture to interpret scripture. 2 Corinthians 5, 1-2. It says, we have an altar, whereof they have no right to partake, which serve the tabernacle. What is the altar there? We say that tabernacle is the flesh, the outward man. That's what Paul says, our outward man perishes, yet our inward man is renewed. Let me tell you what's happening here. He says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, that's what he's talking about, were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, reserved in the heavens for us. Next verse. It says, in this we do groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. I will explain all these scriptures to you, don't worry. So, he's saying we have an altar, whereof they have no right to partake, which serve the tabernacle. What he's trying to say there is really, all the scriptures tied together. What he's trying to say is that Paul said that I die daily. He's saying that when things on the outside, follow me closely, begin to collapse. When things on the outside begin to become hard, when there are necessities on the outside, it is a time God is saying, look, I want to make a switch in the spirit. I want to make an exchange in the spirit. It's a crucial time. When they say adversity is an opportunity, it is not just a cliche. That is the time where the switch wants to take place. When the outside tabernacle or the things on the outside, the outward man is perishing. A man has just lost his job. His outward man is perishing. A marriage has just broken. The outward man is perishing. Or there is trouble in the house. The outward man, you have experienced grief. The outward man is perishing. God is saying, look, that's your opportunity. There has to be an exchange for something else. There is a place where you do not know. You do not know it. He says there is a place where you have never experienced before. I want to replace that thing with a building from heaven, a house not made with hands, reserved in the heaven for you. I want to exchange that thing with something that is so tangible, but that is my opportunity, my entry point. The reason why is that if you don't come to an end of yourself, man will still try to struggle. If you don't see man, the self, I know, see, if you don't come to an end of yourself, you will still try and do it yourself. You will still try and continue coasting. The body will continue in a straight line of uniform motion, except an external force comes to compress it to act otherwise. That's how life is. That's how man is. He likes to coast. Let me tell you something. God is so loving that, you see, it will put you in a situation where you can't escape. In the sense that there's no way out. Because if not, man will run away. It will put you in a place that, look, like Joseph in prison, how are you going to escape? Because he would have chosen deliverance. He will put you in a place where there's no way of escape. For example, let me give you a practical example. You put you in a job where you can't resign. Because your mortgage is tied to it. And they're treating you so badly in the office that you want to just resign. But when you remember the mortgage, I can't resign. But God left you there so that you wait for him. Because if it was not like that, you would have resigned. Because he has a plan. He says, let me put this man in a position where I know that there's a plan ahead, but he can't see it. But because he doesn't understand it, if they touch him too much, he will run away. So let me hedge him in, so that he will stay, because there's a victory at the end, but he can't see it. Understand how loving God is. He can't see it. It's only some people, I mean, they're mature enough to understand the movements of God, like the Bishop Oyedepo. He was in the place, it was working. God said, move to Lagos in the height of flourishing in Kaduna. But most people are not there yet. They will say, God, you can't be speaking. I'm flourishing here. He says, move now. When the man doesn't hear, then he begins to guard, he begins to hedge him in. For his own good, hedges him in. Then when he's pushed into the end, say, oh Lord, help me. Then now he's ready to receive light. Truth can only be imbibed by his soul in his living power when there's a need. We see it all through the scriptures. That's why that is your entry point. Don't waste it. That point is your entry point. When you are feeling so much sorrow, Jesus said that, look, any woman is in travail, when the contractions begin to take place, there is sorrow. But make sure that sorrow is turned into joy. That's your assignment. Understand this. This is how the Christian life is. It is the life of death, burial, and resurrection till Jesus comes. Except you don't want to resurrect. It is. That's what Paul said. He said, look, our light affliction is but for a moment. It works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Let's understand how this thing works. He says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed, persecuted but not forsaken. For what is it for? For the sake of the anointed one. For the sake of the manifestation of that life. He says, for the sake of that life, we are troubled on every side. Because that life, what it does is from a Christ who was completely disfigured on the cross. He says he was disfigured that he didn't look like a human being. He was disfigured, they beat him, he was completely disfigured and twisted to a Christ who rose up from the dead that the disciples did not recognize because of the glory that was shining. That is how God wants to take a man from where he is, completely disfigured. That's what the power of the resurrection is. Deliverance is nothing compared to it. Deliverance is changing your destiny for it. He says he was disfigured, understand what I'm saying? He was completely disfigured that when he came out and he rose again by the power of the Holy Spirit, when he went through the process of resurrection and he came out, the disciples didn't know him because of the glory. They didn't recognize him. It was the same person. They were with him all along. That God is saying that if you wait, the way it's going to take you to, people will not believe that it's the same person. That's what the power of the resurrection does. Look at Joseph. The resurrection power, he waited. And he was quickened to another level, another plane that he didn't know of. That's why he says, look, at this time, we'll show what to do. At this time, there are certain things you must do to actually trigger the resurrection power. And the Holy Ghost is key to all this. The Holy Ghost is key to all this. We'll go through all the scriptures. So we are constantly seeking a better country. We are like people, like we are pilgrims. We are constantly seeking a higher country. We are waiting for instructions, saying, what is the next thing to do? Okay, now let's go to the book of... Let me say something about light before we go on, about light. Because it's important we understand what light does. You know, he says in Psalm 23, I want you to get this concept of this. So he prepares a table before you where? Okay. He prepares a table before you, before us, in the presence of our enemies. In the presence of the challenge, that's where the table is. So, if you have the challenge in front of you, there is a table before you that God has prepared. Maybe you haven't seen it yet. If you have a challenge in front of you, there is a place, an exceeding weight of glory that is awaiting for you, that is waiting for you. Do you know why? Because, see, this is a system that the prince of this world did not know. They didn't. That's why they touched Jesus Christ. They crucified him, and as a result, that system has now established itself in place to every person that has that life. The character of that life that's in you and in me is that when you put pressure on it, it triggers a resurrection power. That's the character. It's just that it is. That's what the character is. I want to understand how to walk in this character. He says, when men begin to persecute you and cast your name out as evil, he says, glory in that day, for great is your reward in heaven. Glory in that day, for great is your reward in heaven. When men begin to push, that's what Paul said here. I can't overemphasize. He said, we are troubled on every side. He said, there was a messenger of Satan that came to buffet me. He said, I saw the Lord thrice. I didn't understand the workings of the resurrection power. I saw God, take this thing away from me. God said, no, don't do that. It's a way to do this thing. Say, my grace is made perfect in your weakness. My strength is made perfect. My grace is sufficient for you. So to experience the grace of God, we have to understand how this works. So you might be going through lots of trials, lots of hardships. It's the opportunity. But you need light. You need light. You need to see something. You know, you need to see. If not, hope deferred can make the heart sick. And faith is not blind. Remember the story we shared last week, Gehazi. He heard the word, more are they that are with us than are they that are against us. He heard the word, but he still had to see. When the Lord opened his eyes to see, faith entered. He didn't need to struggle. Faith is not a struggle. It is the Holy Ghost that opens the seals of the book, you know, and makes us see. And we'll see how that happens. Let's just go quickly. There's a counter of light. Let me just show you something. Go to Job chapter 3, verse 23. I want to show you something there. Just to buttress what I just said. Job 3:23. Because we're coming to a point now where you're not just a normal person walking the streets. You have children inside you, and they're waiting. It might be tough. You might feel constrained, but there's something there. Okay? You say, why is light? Job was looking, why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God has hedged in? That's when light comes. That is when you are receptive to light. Say, who? He said, I don't understand this. Why is light? Why is it that God is commanded the light to shine out of darkness in the beginning? Why? That's the pattern. He said, why is that given to a man whose way is hid and whom God has hedged in? When you begin to feel helpless, that is the perfect time. When you begin to come to an end in yourself, that is the perfect time. So God has hedged in. He now says, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, out of that dark situation, out of the, in the presence of your enemy, that table was prepared for you, but you have to see it. That's the thing. So that is what the character of light is. And who actually comes to give that light? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. Let's go to the book of... Let's just see how to enter into this light, actually. Most important thing. Because God did not do anything without light. He says when the earth was without form and void, everything was chaotic. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. But the Holy Ghost was there, hovering. And God said, let there be light, before he started creation. So in your life, if God the Almighty, he says, before God starts anything, he says, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. When he starts anything in your life, shines in your heart first. That's where it starts from. So let's see how that light comes. Let's see how that light comes. And we are in the process. You know, we're in the process of being transformed. Everybody's in a process of a certain project they have with God. I don't know it. Every man knows the dealings of God in his heart. And it says in Hebrews 3:6, that we are made partakers of Christ if we hold fast two things, the confidence and rejoicing of hope, steadfast to the end. Then we'll be made partakers or experience the end product of it. So that house from heaven will be partakers of it. If we do two things are required. Hold fast the confession or the confidence and the rejoicing of hope. That's joy, firm to the end. Let's hold the place there and we'll go into that place. So let's go to Matthew chapter 6. We're entering in. How do we get into this light? How do we do this? Matthew chapter 6, from verse 7. Matthew 6. So there's going to be constant tugging. There's going to be constant challenges. There's going to be constant obstacles. But know that it is the opportunity. I know it's not a very, but that is the truth of the matter. Look through the scriptures. Everybody that had a challenge was his entry point into destiny. So God is saying, come. I want to show you, but just how to interact with it. Matthew chapter 6. Let's go there and see. The Holy Ghost is there to help. Now, from verse 5. It says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Like I remember, I'll say it again, there are two things you require. The spoken word, holding for the confidence, the spoken word, and the rejoicing, that's joy to the end, to be made a partaker of Christ. Say, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. When ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. It's not the speaking. It says, for be ye not therefore like them. Know this verse, for your Father knows what things ye have need of before you ask him. To be honest with you, I'm telling you the truth, you don't know what you need. You think you do, but you don't. In every situation you face, the truth is that you think you need a son. But God says, no, what you need is for me to make you a father of many nations. What you need to do is to hear the conversations in the spirit and pick that up regarding the matter. That's what you need to do. You don't really know what you need. That's why it says, at those points, it says, come unto me. Call upon me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know of. That's the entire destiny. You have to come to a point that you don't really know what you need. You think, okay, I just need this thing. When you get it, you say, no. If it wasn't a son, understand this. If it was a son, didn't Ishmael come? It wasn't a son. Ishmael came now. But there was something in that promise. Abraham even had more children afterwards. Understand this. There is something there in that place which you mustn't miss. There's a time of visitation, and these are kairoses and chronoses in the spirit realm. There are opportunities in the spirit realm. Understand that. So it says, your Father knows what you have need of. Well, let us settle that. So if my Father knows what I have need of before I ask him, he says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Paul said, or Peter, he says, James said, count it all joy. The first thing is to count it all joy, no matter what it is. The first thing is to pray, but when you go into the place of prayer, no matter what is before you, he says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Begin to give God thanks. Why? Thank you, Father, because I am hedged in, and it is an opportunity for me to receive light. It says, count it all joy. Romans 5, that's good. It says, we glory in tribulation, knowing this. You have to have that knowledge, that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. James said the same thing. He said, count it all joy when you fall into that, knowing that. So you have to have this knowledge that, okay, this is my opportunity to enter into light. I wasn't missing this opportunity. There has to be a knowledge. That's what I was trying to emphasize, this light thing and the effect of pressure and all that. That is what comes out of it. It's an opportunity. So he says, hallowed be thy name. Father, I thank you. I thank you because of this opportunity. I thank you because it is an opportunity for me to enter into another dimension. I thank you for this situation that has come into my life. I know that it shall turn to my salvation. I begin to worship you. Thank you for this job that I have lost. Thank you for this thing that I am facing. Thank you for this infirmity. I glory in it. I choose to give you thanks because I know. Thank you for this hardship I'm facing in my marriage. The things of God are foolishness to natural man. Thank you for this experience because it is an opportunity for me to enter into something. It says Satan might have even initiated it. Thank you for it. Because it's an opportunity for me to enter something. Thank you for the way that man spoke to me at work. Thank you, Father, for it. I give you praise and I give you worship. I thank you for it. I choose to worship you. He says, look, Judges chapter 1 and Judges chapter 28. He says, what do you put first? In warfare, put Judah first. First of all, they went to inquire of God. Let's put it, Judges chapter 20, verse 8. They went to inquire of God, say, what should we do? I'm telling you, the first thing to do, begin to give God thanks. I say, begin to give God thanks in that situation. Begin to give him thanks in that situation. We have practiced, we know, begin to give him thanks in that situation. You will see what will happen. Say, Father, I give you thanks. And the people rose up saying, we will not, any of us, they said, neither will we say any of us to turn to his house. I think it's 20, is it Judges 28? 20? Is it 28? Well, he says, put Judah first, the inquired of the Lord. And Judges, let me check. Let's see. So that we'll, you know, it's good to see these things. Joshua and Judges. Judges 1 has 1. There are 2. Judges chapter 1. That's it. 2018. God told them, they inquired. He says, and the children of Israel rose and went up to the house of God and asked counsel of the Lord and said, which of us should go first to the battle against the children of Benjamin? And the Lord said, Judah must go first. Judah must go first at all times. So the first thing should come out of your mouth, I'm talking about the steps to enter into light, is praise. It's praise. It's written everywhere. Paul said, count it all joy. He said, I glory in my infirmity. I was praying before, I was trying to push it. Say no, begin to glory in your infirmity, in your necessity, in your lack of ability to produce results. He says, because when I am weak, then I am strong, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So you open the door for a manifestation of the power of Christ, and that it comes with light. Let me show you something. Go to John. Think of the light. John chapter 1. So that's how you started. So many other scriptures, but for time I won't be able to go into them. That's how you start the process. We need to give God thanks in that place. John chapter 1. So we're talking about, Jesus said, I will quote some from my head, I have come that they might have life, and that they might have life more abundantly. That's what Jesus said in John 10:10. Now John 1, let's go there, I want to show you something. They have come that they might have life, and they might have life more abundantly. And that life is resurrection life. John 1, verse 4. It says, in him was that life. And how is that life transferred to a man? It said that life was the light of men. So the way that life of Christ is transferred to a mortal man is by light. So the Holy Ghost, in John chapter 16, it says, I will pray the Father, and he will send you another comforter or helper, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. He will unveil the things of mine, and he will make them known to you. So the Holy Ghost is the one that actually opens the word and gives that light. And how does he give that light? I'm quoting so many scriptures. Proverbs 20:27. Let's go there. Proverbs 20:27. We have to see this thing clearly. So the life of God, it's not just in the air. The life of God is transferred to a man by revelation or light. The life of God, the abundant life, is transferred to a man like you or me by the opening of our eyes. That is revelation knowledge. Remember what Jesus told Peter. He says, upon this rock, that is the revelation knowledge, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Upon the opening of a man's eye who is in Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell cannot overpower it. That's what he says here. In him was life, and the life was the light of man, and the light in man shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. So it is revelation knowledge that gives you victory in the spirit. It's light that gives you victory. It's not by struggling. It's not by just knowing a mental understanding of the scripture. It's not by just the letter, no. It is the Holy Ghost. That's why we're so dependent upon him. So the Holy Ghost has come for one purpose, to unveil the light unto us. Now, so what do you do in prayer? After you've given God thanks, the next thing is to ask God, please, I need a supply of your spirit. Because when he is calm, he will make known the word of God to you. Because you do not know. Let's take it easy. So the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. We're going deeper now. The man, the recreated spirit, think of a candle in your house. A candle without any lights on it. That's the spirit of man. So what happens is that the Holy Ghost, during those periods, wants to light that candle with a match. Bam, and gives that light. But that light is revelation knowledge. Is like in your spirit. You don't know exactly what you ought to do yet. Understand where I'm going? You don't know exactly what to do. You say, oh my God. It's like a light that is shining in a dark place. The day has not yet dawned and the day star has not yet arisen in your heart. You just have a small light. And that light has made you happy. You're full of joy and life. But the problem is that people stop at that point. Now, hold your place there. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Let's go to Romans. So, start with giving God thanks and giving God praise for the opportunity. The next thing, he says, when you've counted your joy, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. That's what we're talking. That's what we are now. And the Holy Ghost is the one that opens the word. In the book of Proverbs chapter 1, it says, turn ye at my reproof, and I will pour out my spirit upon you, and make known my words unto you. So the spirit of God comes to unveil the word to us. Let's understand that. We might know the scripture, mental understanding of the scriptures, which is good as a prerequisite for the Spirit of God to quicken to us. But let us come with humble hearts at every time, at every turn, saying, Holy Spirit, Father, I give you thanks for this, but I need you to open the eyes of, I know the written scriptures, but I need you to open the eyes of my understanding to see what I ought to do and what your will is in this situation. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 8. I'll show you this. And I'll tell you what happened to me. It is, in fact, I can't share it in details because it's personal, but it is too deep. I had a fresh baptism of my reverence for the Spirit of God that you can never access that wisdom. That's why we're different from the world. It says the world cannot receive the Spirit. That means they cannot access certain things. We should maximize our advantage. They can't receive the Spirit. They can't know the things that have been freely given to them of God. Okay, let's see this. Romans chapter 8. Now, it says, from verse 24, it says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see, then do we with patience wait for it. But he's talking about asking for wisdom now. So likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. I'll read that again. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. If I want translation put it, we don't know what to ask God for at that time that is perfect for us. Let's understand, it takes a bit of humility and complete surrender. So we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God, according to the plan of God. So the Holy Ghost, the author of the scriptures, he says, the prophecy did not come by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved or inspired by the Holy Ghost. So holy men of God spoke. The Holy Ghost, in the wisdom of God, had seen in the future that situation you're facing right now. This thing is spiritual. Has seen in the future that hardship you're going through right now. And he stirred up men to write certain things in the prophetic scriptures regarding that. He said the promises did not come by the will of man. He said, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So God was so concerned about you. So he wrote about that specific situation. So the Spirit of God goes, when you submit to him, into intercession, and together with your spirit, it takes hold together with you and begins to set the avenues in God through the prophetic scriptures and bring that specific word that feeds that situation to your understanding. That's how he brings the word. He says he goes into God and he begins to make intercession, and he comes and he brings that word in prophetic word. That's why I say you have to surrender, because you do not know. That's why you come to God and say, show me that which I do not know. Teach me in this situation. This is an opportunity. Show me. Open my eyes that I might see. If we have been living like this, we have been advancing by leaps and bounds. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your law. Holy Spirit, show me in this situation. I'm not moving from here until the book is open to me. And we know that all things, it's not all things that work like that. So it's when the thing has come. It says all things now work together for the good of them that love, to them who are called according to his purpose. Because once that will is revealed, it connects you back. You see, this is God's agenda. The truth about the matter is that you need to be met inside it. That's the truth about the body. People, you don't surrender that will to receive that kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let's go to the book of... So that's what he does. So he goes into the Spirit of God, now takes hold together with you and brings out the prophetic scripture. He says, no scripture is of any private interpretation. You're not there when you wrote it. And you wrote it for your good. We saw that last week. Let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians. Let's go. Chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2. Say, but I, brethren, came not unto you with excellency of speech. So when I began to see this, my legs began to quake. I understood what Paul was talking about. I understood what he was talking about. He said, when I declared unto you the wisdom of God and the testimony of our God, for I determined not to know anything about among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. The cross of Jesus Christ, that is the power. What happens in the cross? Let me tell you what happens. The cross means things that come. I mean, the challenges, things that come. The cross of Jesus Christ is where the obstacles are taken out of your way. The challenge is where the obstacle is taken out of your way. It takes everything out of your way so that you can see into the Spirit. It now says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. When I began to see this, I began to quake because I knew that this thing is serious. You have to get the exact word from the Spirit of God before you come and speak. I knew that before, but because it's by the foolishness of preaching that salvation comes. Because God, in his wisdom, has apportioned 20 people to be present in this meeting, in the Spirit. Today, the 17th, is it the 17th? What is it? Today, the 18th. And he says, words will come from the throne of grace through a vessel that will light upon every single person. And you'll be held accountable. You say, you did not seek me to get the words to speak. You'll be held accountable. So it's not, so we're not coming here, it's not a funfair. It's words from the throne of God to the hearts of people to cause them to be transformed. That's what it's about. So, he says, and the people also will be seeking God in prayer. Lord, speak a word to my specific situation. He says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. That's what I'm saying. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. When the Spirit comes, see, there's no such thing as the Spirit without the demonstration of power. There's no such thing as the Spirit without a demonstration of power. When the Spirit comes, there's always a working of miracles. Either in form of revelation knowledge, either in form of word of wisdom, word of knowledge, either in form of the utterance gift, the power gift, or the wisdom gift, knowledge gift. The Spirit comes to give knowledge, which you have talked about. He opens the book, and when that knowledge comes forth, what you do next is you utter that knowledge with your mouth, and once you utter the words, the Spirit, the rhema he gave to you, there's always a manifestation. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as there's no man. There's nothing like that. It means that there is something wrong in the process. It means that we have missed God somewhere. God always brings about a manifestation.
No matter how small it is. So that light comes. Now, so it says, howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Yet not the wisdom of this world, of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto your glory. So there's a hidden wisdom in that situation you're going through. God ordained that wisdom before the world unto your glory. So don't give up. That's what I'm trying to say. He says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for they know they do not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now this is what I'm going, for it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. So there are certain things that God has prepared for you in that situation that has not readily occurred to you. Your eyes have not seen it. Your ears, no man has, it hasn't entered into your heart yet. But God has revealed. So it starts with a revelation by the Holy Ghost through the prophetic scriptures. So he reveals them to you by his Spirit. I told you how the Spirit gets that revelation. He searches all things in that place of intercessory prayer we saw in Romans chapter 8. And he goes into God to bring out the deep thing, that secret wisdom regarding that situation. And his perfect will is unveiled to you. You see it inside the Word. And when you see it, it's like a small light. It brings momentary joy. But the problem is that people rejoice in the light for a season. Instead of John, say, John the Baptist came and you were willing to rejoice in his life for a season. Jesus came, he called Peter, Peter come. Peter rejoiced in the light for a season and he walked on water for a season. But he took his eyes off the small light that shines in a dark place. We'll go there. And he began to sink. They get the word initially. 4 months after, the word has not manifested, but they've left it. It says here. But it says, but God has revealed them to, yeah, the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. That's why the world cannot access this wisdom. He says, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Why? We are born again that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. When the Spirit unveiled those things to us, he now gives us the utterance. Says, which things also we speak. When the scripture is unveiled to you, a small light regarding that matter, the will of God has come, the word of God has come. Which things also we speak. So you put those things and begin to declare them. He said, not with what which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So you put those things on your lips. That's when you now process now starts. You now begin, because once the eyes have been opened, your face is unveiled. It says, we all with open face. Let's go there. We need to see that. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Because this is very important that we get this. So the word has come. And to be honest with you, that prayer must continue throughout the process. Every morning, Father, give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation, because it's a progressive revelation. The light comes and she shines brighter and brighter. So each day you hear something new. When you hear in that place, you continue the process of rejoicing. Father, I thank you for that light you've given me. I thank as you're rejoicing in the word that he has given you, you begin to see certain things and hear certain instructions. You go and carry out what you hear. You come back again the next day until that thing becomes full in your mind. There was something that was not quite where it was. I said, Lord, what is what? God told me, see, that because you push in the spirit, that is why the enemy has not had a foothold. But there's something here that is not right. I said, Lord, show it to me. I started worshiping God, Holy Spirit. I took the scriptures he gave me. I brought them out. I started quoting those scriptures back to him. I started praying the Spirit. I started quoting the Spirit. I started worshiping. Nothing happened the first day. It's happened that I was just worshiping on my bed. The Holy Ghost began to unveil wisdom. The wisdom he unveiled, when I told my wife, I called someone. I said, in my life. He went back to the past and began to connect things. He told me that some spirits can enter into bodily materials. The same way Peter carried the handkerchiefs or things like that. Evil spirits can inhabit bodily materials. So you have to deal with this. Do 1, 2, 3, 4 and wipe this thing out. How would I have thought of that? Impossible. That's what the spirit of, that is the wisdom, intelligence, far above what you can think of. The spirit of God. When I said, oh my God, I was waiting for the next time. I would go to my closet again, begin to worship. When you begin to experience, you begin to say, oh, what next? What next? Let's go back. The wisdom is divine. The wisdom, and it was so simple. I didn't have to go anywhere. I just obeyed the instructions. And when I did it, there was a shift. Immediately. It's divine intelligence. In my bedroom. By myself. Let's go there. Let's go there. We end here. Seven going there. You have an issue. Don't leave there until you open the wall. He said, when you find that light, stay with that light. I won't talk about the place of meditation. I've talked about it before. Focus on that light. He says, when the treasure was found, he sold everything he had to buy that field. Focus on that light. See, sell everything and focus on that light, because that is the season that the light has ushered in. That's what you're about in that season. Focus on that light and let that light begin to grow. How do you focus on it? Begin to meditate on it. We'll talk about it. Begin to behold it. Every morning you wake up, you look at that light. You can say, Father, open my eyes. He begins to show you things to do. Practical things. No, practical things. He told me, break bread. And this is what the blood did. And this is what the body did. I was looking at the scriptures. It was exactly. I said, oh my God. I said, how on earth? I wouldn't have thought it would readily occur to me. It would not readily occur to me. But it was right beside me. He said, that is how my people have ignored my wisdom. With the jawbone of an ass beside them, they can slay the entire army. But they ignored the jawbone because they will not listen. He says, I've told them that their strength is to sit still. It's to stay in the place of worship, to ask me for wisdom. As that wisdom comes, to begin to focus on that wisdom. He said, they have run, they have been held ensnared. He said, if only they had hearkened unto me, I will soon have turned their captivity around. You keep that worship going. Keep that singing going. Keep that praise going. Keep it going. But the revelation was before your eyes. He says, we're ending now. He says, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 7. So if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was done away with, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? In fact, God rebuked me. He told me that, I rejoiced in the light for a season regarding my career, but I now entered into Pharaoh's house and I saw seeing the light. When they saw the stars, they entered in the Pharaoh's house, the stars stopped. Until they came out, they now continued. He said, now, I told you, I sent you an assignment. And this is the next phase of the assignment. He said, go to the scripture. I went and I saw. The next phase for you to interpret the dream of the king and save the entire nation. That's the next phase, to interpret the dream of the king. I said, Lord, I'm sorry, I repent. I said, now, begin to show me. I began to worship you. I said, I want to enter now. I want to show me. He said, the hospital is in crisis. Now it's the time for you to interpret. Bring out a wisdom. I know all things. He said, it's a practical thing. So now go in there and begin to worship me. I want to show you certain things. That when you implement it in this place, it will go nationwide. All the NHS hospitals. He said, that's it. I said, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. He said, go back to the scripture. Look at that. I said, okay, that's true. That's the next phase. God is practical. He's involved in our affairs only if we involve the Spirit. So he says, so shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? And if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was more glorious had no glory, made glorious in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away with was glorious, much more, what remained will be much more glorious. I mean, Moses, he was beholding that light, and his face was shining. That was the one that was the inferior covenant. Except we don't believe that it is true. Except we don't believe the word that is true. He says he was beholding it because of the glory in his face. It now says, it goes further. He says, but their minds were blinded, for unto this day there remains a veil untaken away. In reading of the Old Testament, God said people are reading. They are confessing with closed eyes. That's why it's hidden in rock. They are not asking me. You have to ask specifically, open my eyes. Lord, open my eyes. It's important. Gehazi had the word, more are with us than against us. But he was not, his eyes were not opened. Open my eyes. And I behold wondrous things out of the law. David said, open my eyes, lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. So he began to say, and they began to behold. Say, but even unto this day, in 15, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when he shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. That is it. We all, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So there's an unveiling there, and when there's an unveiling, then we begin to behold and make our confession. How do we behold? We behold by declaring it. For example, I will take the word that you have given me regarding my career, whatever it is, because I say, Lord, open my eyes. As I begin to declare, like I was doing the other day, the scriptures, I was declaring the scriptures, the Holy Ghost began to show me exactly the steps to take, and I just woke up. Woke my wife. This is what the Holy Ghost showed me. When I told her the wisdom, she said, "How long have I thought about this?" He will show you things to come. He will show. He knows. He knows everything about that situation. If not, it's news to him. He knows. You just want us to ask him to open our eyes. So, as we begin to behold with open faces, with unveiled faces, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory unto glory. So he's saying, keep that. I've talked about meditation many times. So that's the process. You now begin to meditate on the word that he has given you. With that prayer going on in the background constantly. Open my eyes. And as you begin to open your eyes, you begin to rejoice. Father, I thank you. It becomes, the joy begins to increase because you begin to see more things. Begin to see more things. When I saw, I called someone. I said, I had an experience today. I said, I can't wait to get back into the place. So I went back the next day. I said, okay, what's the next thing now? I opened my eyes. I want to see more. I began to rejoice. So that joy begins to grow. All the things on the outside become immaterial. It begins to grow on the inside. As you begin to focus on that word, because the joy is created from the word. It begins to grow and grow and grow and grow until the point will come where you are not even conscious of what has happened on the outside. The change might have even taken place. You're not even aware of it. You're more concerned about the fellowship of the Spirit. We're transformed. I'll read it before we round up. As we round up now. This is the story of a woman. Which he said, well, prayer is important. But it's only the word of God that can bring the deliverance. Prayer, to pray, to receive revelation. You keep on asking for the eyes to be opened. You keep your rejoicing going with the word on your lips. It's the word of God, the rhema of God, that nothing shall be impossible. People are praying empty prayers. People are praying dry prayers without any word inside. The word is what produces the result. It's the spoken word that causes. It's the spoken word that goes to cause the effect. It's the spoken word that generates the joy, that keeps the joy going. As you begin, and suddenly behold, the joy is increasing. It's the spoken word. Now we say, maintain your rejoicing and your confession till the day dawns and the day star arises in your heart. I'll read this as we go. It says, a woman that was held in sin. She was a Christian, born again Christian. But she was following Jesus from afar. There are dangers in following from afar. It's either you are in it or you are not in it. The dangers of falling from afar. And what happened? She was held. So medical doctor, held by morphine addiction. Little by little, the sin was growing. This one, legitimately, she was stressed. She had to take morphine. This is the next time. Then the conscience was said. That's how sin enters. And the sin now overtook her and overpowered her. And she didn't have the solution. This is her writing. She said, Christian, born again Christian. She said, though I dream day and night of freedom, the dream seemed impossible of realization. It will take something stronger than death to deliver me, for the hold of this hideous thing is far deeper than my physical being. That's why you have compassion on people. Some people are beyond helping themselves. He says, and I was right, for it took the law of the spirit of life in Christ that makes me free from the law of sin and death. Do you ask me, did you not pray? Yes. I came to the place where I did nothing else but pray. I want to emphasize something. It is the word that does this thing. Prayer, understand the rule of prayer. Prayer is there. He said, I prayed and prayed and prayed night after night. I walked up and down over long drawn rooms, calling on God and sometimes always literally tearing the hair out of my head. And you say, and you weren't healed after that? No, I wasn't healed. Because I didn't believe the simple statement of the word of God. It's the word of God. The prayer is directed at receiving light from the word of God. He now says, rather my healing could not be manifested because of my unbelief. I shut the door and prevented the power of God from operating unhindered in my body. So why did you not have faith? Listen to this. Simply because I did not have light enough to take it. I did not have light enough to take it. The light was not enough. The thing has not dawned, so she couldn't take that thing. It's a gift and must be appropriated. And moreover, God's method of bestowing it is through His word. I was getting very weak and spent hour after hour in bed. And God in His mercy kept me much alone so that He could talk to me. At last, I drew my neglected Bible. It's in the Word, guys. To me. The same thing Higgins said, if you remember his story. He said, I left the Bible on the bed. After some time, I drew it. I brought that Bible. He said, and I plunged into it with full purpose of heart to get all that was there for me, to do all that God told me to do, to surrender. I went in, not with any preconceived ideas. Okay, now, open my eyes, let me see. And to believe all He said, and praise God, the insoluble problem was solved. The impossible was achieved. The deliverance was wrought. There is no trouble about it. When God can get us to meet His conditions of repentance and faith, I mean faith, it always goes well. He now says, I just read this part. It says, suffice to say, I found a great number of healing passages in the Bible. And when God's words were found, I ate them, and they did their work. They never failed. I knew I was healed, that I couldn't help being healed because God was faithful. God was faithful. And what is He faithful to? He's faithful to His word. The word He opens up to you, He's committed. Wherever that word goes and is received into a heart and generates that faith, God is committed to that thing. He says, and I lost interest in my symptoms. I was so certain of the truth. The drugs went. I didn't know for 19 years after my healing what became of them. I thought maybe God would send an angel to take them away. Like that, as he was beholding, the transformation was taking place. He didn't know anything else happened. Moses, he didn't know his face was shining. The change that's taking place. He said, what's happening here? That's how God does. From being mad to unrecognizable on the other side. That's the power of the resurrection, and it's inside the word that the Spirit unveils as we behold and rejoice in that thing. So you sell everything you have, and you focus on that light, and you will reap the harvest of resurrection power. Father, we give you thanks. Let's begin to pray in the Spirit.